Happy Wednesday and happy birthday, United States of America. You're looking great. Thanks again for dropping in for another Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to answer your listener questions. Megan's got a great question about the views from Geyser Point. Can you see the electrical water pageant from there? Also, she wants some suggestions for a half day outside of the park. What kind of stuff can you do? So we'll take those on and more here in just a second. Don't forget about our sponsor, the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. As you know, Pam and I right now are down at Walt Disney World having a great time. And you've heard me count down for the last 6 months for this trip using the app Days to Go WDW. You can do the same. You get great pictures, great text. You get audio alerts. You put in your own pictures even to really make it special. And every time you look down at your iPhone, boom, you're getting a reminder. You're going to Walt Disney World here soon. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the show through our Amazon affiliate link. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. You're going to shop on Amazon, and it costs you nothing extra. You get all those Prime benefits. Everything shows up quickly. All you got to do is bookmark this on all of your devices, and please support the show. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1350 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. This is Sam Eagle's favorite podcast. I don't know if you knew that. We wanted to wait 350 episodes until we gave that endorsement, but we're down at Walt Disney World and I ran into good old Sam and he said, "Hey, Mike, it's cool. Let everybody know. I love the Be Our Guest podcast. There's no more patriotic show anywhere on the internet." So I said, thank you, Sam Eagle, and we appreciate it very much. It's going to be a show about all Disney topics, but mostly Walt Disney World. So joining me today to answer your listener questions on the 4th of July, one of my favorite days of the year. Seriously, I love this country and I love patriotism. Pam Forrester from the Magic for Less Travel. No more patriotic person than Pam. What's going on?
It's a salute to all podcasts, but mostly ours.
That's it. So. See, I couldn't come up with a good one. I knew you were sitting there and waiting in the wings.
Too funny. Happy 4th of July almost to everyone. That's awesome. I love the 4th of July too. And we're both very lucky because we're celebrating in Walt Disney World, where we get to see one of the best 4th of July displays of any place in the world, probably. So love to see that.
Yeah, with everything, you know, there's always the yin and the yang to it. And with going to Walt Disney World, if you ever get the opportunity to go to Epcot for the 4th of July or Magic Kingdom for the 3rd, it's awesome. I mean, it's the reason I'm there tonight with friends. This is what the 4th of July has become for me. But what it used to be was going to our Civic Center here in Florissant and seeing fireworks. And now the bad part about this is I can never do that again because I'm like, is that it? Like that used to be like what we did in our backyard, you know, like compared to Epcot, it's yes. So spoils you for everything else.
There's no choreographed music and laser show that goes along with this. Okay. Well, I guess that's a way to do it. Whatever.
And hopefully if we stand in the right place tonight, we'll probably get hit by some shells because, you know, on New Year's Eve and 4th of July, all bets are off. I mean, it rains not just liquid, it rains everything. So who cares? Because the ground will be shaking. And if you're at Epcot tonight, look for us. We're going to be there to say hi, and we'd love to see you. So lots of fun tonight. But let's get to the first question today. It's from Megan. And she says, "Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My husband and I are headed down for one more trip before our annual passes expire." How many times have we said that? I'm going to go one more time before that AP. Just one more. "We have 1.5 days between when our tickets expire and when we fly home. We're having a hard time coming up with things to do because our trips are usually so park-centered and busy. What would you recommend for a day and a half of park ticket-free fun? We're thinking of maybe mini-golf, a monorail, bar crawl, a snack crawl, or something like that." All right, that's our first question. So, and you do this a lot. I mean, you even though you have annual passes, a lot of times I know you schedule pool days and you spend the entire day at the pool. Now, is that something you would recommend? I mean, is this something that Megan usually spends tons of times in the parks. They're go, go, go. But, you know, their tickets are going to expire before they go home for a day and a half. What would you tell them to do?
Well, if you can take it, Megan, try a day at the pool. I'm just going to say that there's a little something called relaxation that you can do even on a Disney vacation. I know it's hard. The parks sort of call to you and you think about, well, I could be doing this, 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 or this. But think about the value that there is in just relaxing, enjoying the pool. Take your Kindle or your favorite book with you and read. I will tell you, I get to read for pleasure on vacation. Yes, that is the end of the sentence because I don't do it at any other time in my life. And I miss it because I was an avid, avid reader prior to that. I do allow myself to read just about every day, something that's sort of business related or, you know, helps kind of self-help or some kind of improvement thing. But just like leisure, like a book that just reads fast and you don't have to retain any of the information and you can forget those characters as soon as you're done with it. That's a fun day, I will just say, you know, order some drinks, enjoy the lounge chairs and just relax. There's definite value into including that as part of your vacation.
I do also like the idea of the monorail bar snack crawl because that not only is that a chance to, you can kind of incorporate your meals and make it, you know, a good part of a day, but you're also visiting deluxe resorts. And, you know, if you just take your time and, of course, you can't pool hop, but you could, you know, hang out, like, you know, go see Trader Sam's, have an app, have a drink. And then, you know, when you're done, you know, maybe just go through the shops there and then head over to the Grand and then head over to the Contemporary or take a boat to Wilderness Lodge. I mean, that is a great way to spend the day. Also, Fort Wilderness, you could, you know, rent bicycles, you know, what have you. One day I want to rent a golf cart. I don't think you can do. Can you do that without staying there? I think you have to be staying there.
I think you're supposed to be staying there.
I think
there,
so,
yeah.
Too. I just want to rent one just to tear up. You know, not to tear up, but just to fly through there. I think it'd be so fun. That's probably why they don't do this. nothing more American than renting a golf cart and flying through Fort Wilderness.
If that doesn't say America, I'm not sure what does.
The only thing you would need is, I don't drink Bud Light, but the only thing you need is a couple Bud Lights and you'd be set to go over here in Missouri. That's good stuff. You know, like the mini golf is fun. The only thing you got to watch this time of year, and I know she's going to be down there while we're down there right now, is that it gets hot. If you go out, like, there's a reason why they give you the free vouchers and they're good before 4 o'clock because you pay for it one way or the other. You pay for it in, like, you're almost passing out because it's so hot. That's why they're not
you
good at
you buy night. That much in drinks to, like, get you through the mini golf course. Your water bill is huge.
It's like, oh, yeah, they're on a hole 8 because there's a trail of sweat from 1 to 7. Anyway.
Melted into little puddles.
Good ideas. All right. She also says, also, do you know if you can see the electrical water pageant from Geyser Point? It's one of our favorite spots. And actually, Pam and I were just talking about this. We are going to hit Geyser Point for sure during this trip. One of our favorite spots as well. So I think, did we not see the electrical water pageant from Geyser Point? I think we did.
I thought we did too. If not, you can walk over to where it, you know, to where you can get a better view of it. We were inside, you know, we were sort of over the cover for that, but I thought we did too.
I know we did. Actually, I think I remember Hannah being there too. Like, I was sitting by Hannah talking to Hannah about something and it was like, the one thing about the electrical water pageant is it is loud. Like that
yeah,
sound
if you're close
system booms.
You're right. Yes, it is. So yeah, I remember that too. You know, the thing we found though, it was a tiny bit, well, not a tiny bit, it was a little buggy.
Yeah.
In the evening, maybe you need to get out from underneath that overhang. But yeah, it was. But you know what? That was probably the time of year it was too. I think even the bugs realize when it's really hot out that it's better just be hanging out, and not doing too much. So
yeah, they're just like, I was gonna go out and bite people tonight, but it's just too hot.
That's right. Yes,
we're just gonna chill and watch some bug TV or something. I don't know.
That's right.
And she also says thanks for all the pixie dust you guys share with us, Pam and Mike. I hope our paths cross this upcoming 4th of July trip. So Megan, look for us. We're gonna be at Epcot tonight. Hopefully you will be too. All right, Jamie's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, longtime listener, but first time writing in with a few questions about this year's Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. My fiance and I will be going to Disney World during this holiday season for the first time this December and have tickets to the Christmas party on the day we arrive, December 18th. My first question is, we only have 4 days in the parks, and I was going to use the party ticket on that first day and get a 3-day ticket for our remaining 3 days. But given that this is our first Christmas party and we really want to see holiday wishes and the Once Upon a Christmas Time at Christmas. I got to throw that in, parade. Even that's what it's called. I love that. It's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day.
It's Christmas time.
It's the 4th of July, for goodness sakes. And I'm going to have that Christmas parade stuck. Thanks, Jamie. Anyway. She's a little nervous that even with getting in a few hours early, 4 p.m. to midnight, won't be enough time to do everything we want. This is likely going to be our only day in the Magic Kingdom, and I haven't been to Disney World in 4 years, so rides and attractions are still very high on the priority list. Do you think it's worth the peace of mind to go with a 4-day park ticket so that as soon as we arrive that morning, we can head to the Magic Kingdom and get a full day in? So basically what her question is here, should she buy that 4th day on the Magic Your Way tickets and get into the park as soon as they get to Walt Disney World and, you know, instead of having to wait till 4 to get in with the Christmas party? It sounds like she really wants to. I would, you know, it seems like
it. I would too. It wouldn't even be a question for me. And here's why. I love the Christmas party. First of all, I think it's just so festive, so holiday-y. That's not really a word, but, you know, it puts you in that Christmas spirit. And when I'm there, I want to be able to concentrate my time on doing things that are only available during those Christmas parties. That's things like the parade. I want to see the fireworks. In fact, I might see the parade twice. It's that good. I want to make sure that I get to see, you know, the Christmas shows. I'm going to load up on cookies and cocoa. I mean, you know, there's lots of Christmas only things that I'm going to make a point to do. And I don't want to have to be worried about hitting every attraction at the same time. So for me, I would absolutely get that 4th day so I can go in, hit some attractions. Plus, I can make Fast Pass. And you know, for that day as well, that's going to be an important thing. Get my fast passes in, make sure I see some of the attractions that aren't going to be open during the party. And there are some of them. And then just really focus on enjoying those party things and maybe hitting a few of the attractions, you know, that are really important to me. But for me, it's all about party activities at the party.
I agree. And I mean, the thing is, you're going to get home and you're going to say, man, I wish I would have gone to the Magic Kingdom for those extra hours. You know, I don't think you'll regret the small extra price to get that 4th day of your ticket. And you would be so antsy when you land, like you're going to want to get in, but you can't, you know. So I think that, and plus, like, just leading up to this trip, you're going to know, hey, as soon as we get there, man, we're good to go. So I would definitely get it. All right, your second question. How do you suggest we go about getting dinner with maximizing our party time? This is a good question. Although we almost always do table service for dinner, we really want to take advantage of the lower wait times for the attractions and the special entertainment during the party. So I think this will be a counter service evening for us. What time would you suggest getting a counter service meal to maximize our party time? Because this is true for the Halloween party as well. You don't really want to spend your time eating. You know, you want to spend your time taking advantage of everything the parties have to offer. We've been to many of these parties. I think we talked about this on either last week's or a couple weeks ago on the listener question show about how we went to the Halloween party years ago, like eight or nine years ago. And sort of the podcast started not too long after. And we went to Kona right before. I mean, like, we had like a 4 or 5 o'clock dinner, and then we went straight over to the Magic Kingdom, had a good time at the Halloween party. That was the one where Jack Sparrow got kicked out because he jumped up on the table wanted to take on the whole restaurant, and so the security had to take him out. That's why I remember this. But, you know, that worked out well for us because we had a big meal in our bellies, and he could snack the rest of the night. We were good. But it looks like they might want to do counter service. But what's usually your party night strategy for dinner?
I think we do a dinner. We do a combination lunch and dinner, late lunch, early dinner if possible, and then snack at the places that are going to be open during the party. That seems to work for us. And even if you're arriving doing a bunch of attractions, you might need a little break prior to the start of the party. So you could make reservations at one of the table service locations right there in the Magic Kingdom. You have, of course, Crystal Palace. And I always think a buffet meal, you're in and out fairly quickly. But then you also have Tony's and the Jungle Skipper Canteen. Of course, Be Our Guest, which is challenging to get and is moving to a prefix menu for dinner in particular. But maybe a lunch would work for you, the latest lunch there. But that's what we try to do.
Or what about, they're going to the Christmas party, what about Liberty Tree? That'd kind of set the mood, you know? I think everybody forgets about Liberty Tree. I haven't been there in years. I don't think I've been there since the characters went away. That's a long time ago.
I haven't gone for dinner. We've gone for lunch, though. And I actually really like that. You know, the lunch is a la carte. And I appreciate that.
Oh, sounds good. I hope we're happy. What am I saying? I know we're eating good on this trip, so I'm not even worried about it. All right, third and final question. We've never eaten a counter service meal at the Magic Kingdom. How does that happen? Okay, so how do you guys, or do you guys have any favorites to recommend? We're definitely foodies, and my fiance is a vegetarian, so we do need something to accommodate that. Thanks for all the three of you guys do for the amazing podcast, and to Mike for his help booking our trips. Well, thank you so much, Jamie. I appreciate that opportunity. All right, so counter service favorites, and also her fiance is a vegetarian. I think most places have good vegetarian options.
They do, and that's a great thing about Disney is they try to make, you know, they have a vegetarian option. They typically have, they can make things that are gluten-free. And if you have a nut allergy or milk allergy or things like that, that's something you can discuss with the chef, and they typically have alternatives for that. But I will recommend Crystal Palace again, because I think that the chefs there do a great job with allergies and food, you know, if you have food preferences.
Well, she's looking for counter service though.
Oh, for counter service. Yeah. Sorry. Didn't get that part. I think any counter service then will do a good job with that. But the standouts that we'll recommend, of course, are always going to be Pecos Bill, because they have Mexican food and that great big toppings bar, and there definitely are vegetarian options there for you. I think another solid one is always Columbia Harbor House. That's a great place to just go and relax. They don't have as many vegetarian options there, but I believe that they do have some. And I'm trying to think what else, what other counter service are even there? See, this is how, Be Our Guest for lunch. If you can go ahead and make it into lunch, they do have vegetarian options there. And those are a good choice as well. There's things like Cosmic Rays, and lots of little treat locations. And I think that, you know, that's something that you may want to consider, because there's a lot of snack locations where you can get items that you have a couple of them and bam, that's a meal.
Yeah, that's my strategy too. You don't have to like get the traditional, like, you know, I'm going to Texas Roadhouse and I'm going to fill myself up until tomorrow morning. You know, like I don't have to power through. Like, I'm just going to get enough to like kill the hunger for a little bit and then snack my night away, because it's almost a missed opportunity if you have a big meal and you're not hungry during the party, because when do you have the chances to have those kind of snacks? I mean, it is part of the experience. As much as you do want to fill up and have, you know, like I don't have to worry about like fueling myself for the rest of the night, you can miss out by doing that, I think, in a way.
It's true. It is true. And you know what? I just pulled up the menu on the Miles for Less for Columbia Harbor House. So there's not a lot in the way of vegetarian options. I'm going to tell you, there's a wedge salad that you'd have to ask them to go ahead and hold the bacon on that for you. And there's some sides, including they do have a vegetarian chili, macaroni and cheese and things like that. But I think some of the other options are going to probably be better for you, because I think Mexican almost lends itself to being vegetarian. I mean, just take out the meat and fajitas and look at what you got. So
that's true. It's all kinds of good. That's all I got to say. All right. Matt's up next. He's got a question regarding the Disney Cruise Kids Club. Friends at the BOGP, our family is going on a Disney Star Wars Day at Sea cruise in February. Our son may try out the Kids Club while we're on the cruise. Do you have any guidelines for tipping Kids Club cast members? That's a mouthful. On the Disney cruise. We're a huge fan of your show. Our son Andy always requests that we play your podcast. Keep up the great work. Matt's outside of Chicago, Illinois. Big shout out to Andy. Andy, whenever your parents try to listen to any other podcast and say no, we're listening to the Be Our Guest podcast. Mike, Ricky, and Pam need you to listen. So I love Andy. That's cool. And he's got a great Toy Story name and everything. That's sweet. So I don't think tipping's required of the Kids Club cast members, as awesome as they are. I think a recommendation at the end of the cruise is probably the best thing you can do.
No, and not only that, I don't think they're allowed to accept tips. We have done things like given a gift card, like especially, this used to, back in the day, people really wanted those phone gift cards. And they probably do to some extent still. But I think any kind of gift card for a location, you know, that someplace that they'll stop, even if it's when they stop at Port Canaveral.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Starbucks in every port.
That's true. Very true. But yeah, something like that, that they could use would be great, but they're not really allowed to accept tips. It's just part of what is included in the cost of your Disney Cruise Line vacation. So it's awesome.
And they always, you know, really do push for those, you know, guest feedback surveys as you're walking off the ship. And I think that, you know, as much as, you know, $5 or $10 would really make, you know, those kids club cast members, because they, I mean, if your kids go to the clubs a lot, they're an integral part of that vacation. I mean, your kids will bond with those cast members, and they do a tremendous job. I will say that they're amazing in the kids clubs. But I think that, you know, you can't break the rules, but the best thing you can do is just, you know, let them know on the survey how outstanding they are, because that's going to go a long way to, you know, getting that new contract and maybe advancing within the, you know, I'm sure they want to work their way up the food chain. And I think that's a good way to do it.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Eric. It's a July Disney trip, so we're getting this one in just in the nick of time here. My wife and I are going back to Walt Disney World for our first anniversary and a baby moon, July 5th through the 10th. So getting there tomorrow. Hey, Eric, we'll be waiting for you. We're staying at the Yacht Club the whole time. Hey, so am I. So look, totally look for me. I'll be hanging out at Storm Along Bay. We came down for our honeymoon last year, and we're hoping for some ideas for this trip because we can't ride a lot of the rides. We love the podcast and love listening to all of the different ideas and things that people do on their trips to the world. Thanks again, Eric. This was exactly my story about a decade ago, because Pam and I went down for our first anniversary when she was pregnant with Mallory. And it was one of the best trips ever because we didn't do a whole lot. We actually vacationed and relaxed. So, Pam, what do you say in this kind of situation when you're going back and it's, you know, you gotta take it easy. And it's wonderful.
It is. It makes you, I think that's the thing about a Disney vacation. First of all, you can experience it at so many different points in your life, regardless of any, what you think may be a limitation. So many people can access Disney, and it just opens the door to a vacation that is a new type of a Disney vacation. There are some Disney vacations that we have hardly spent time on attractions. We've actually been in the parks, but really focused on things like the shows, and all those kinds of things. They're really, Disney just has so much available. Think about in the Magic Kingdom alone, the types of entertainment that are available, from the barbershop folks and, you know, to even the Country Bears, to all of those kinds of attractions. There's just so much, and there's so much live entertainment. We've watched the guy in the glass shop make things, and that is a really interesting process. Something like that is both fun and just really interesting. So don't fret, you will find so many things to do, and you might find your new favorite thing.
Well, too, they're staying at Yacht Club. So, I mean, this is going to scream. And I mean, July 5th to the 10th. I mean, could you have picked a hotter time of the year to go to Florida? I mean, come on now. So, I mean, let's start adding things up here. Okay, you're staying at Yacht Club. You got Storm Along Bay. It's July 5th through the 10th. Hang out at the pool, you know, and take advantage. But here's the greatest thing about that. You know, I think they really need to focus on World Showcase, because this is the opportunity that you may not take on subsequent trips, because you're going to have the little guy or gal with you. You're not going to have, like you said, like the glass blower. You could see that in Mexico. You know, you can speak to some of the artisans around the different countries.
Right.
You know, really speak to some of the cast members about the food and the snacking. Because while, you know, like we thought we were going to go back, and Pam wanted to like try the drink around the world thing once, you know, and like we were pregnant, so we couldn't do that. That threw it out. But I mean, we had a great time just walking through, and instead of doing that, we snacked. You know, we snacked around the world. That was awesome, because what we did was we split the snacks, because, you know, none of us could do 11 snacks, but, you know, we would get one and share it. And then, you know, we didn't have any rules. You know, we could skip a country if we wanted to, but it was a great way to slow down and see the, you know, the cultural things in World Showcase, rather than just the very surface. Okay, we're in a hurry, we're going to look at the shop, see what we can buy, maybe get a snack and move on. You know, it was really, right. It was so different, but it was so great. It was awesome.
That's what it is. I mean, I do say that to people, you know, just because you have to modify your trip plans, or just because you have to have a different kind of trip, you really may find your next favorite thing. That's what it leads you to. Those opportunities are out there. So embrace it.
All right. Next one's coming from Melissa. Hey guys, love your show. I'm on the road a lot, so it helps keep my commutes calm and quick. We love that. I'm heading down to Disney World in July. For the second time this year, we're celebrating my husband's 40th birthday, staying at Coronado Springs. I'm staying at Coronado Springs too in July, so maybe if we're there, look for me. I'm everywhere. We stayed there for one night a few months back, but I'm excited to be there in the summer and enjoy the pools and see more of the resort. My question is, I would like to take my husband for a special dinner. I've been researching and have also eaten at a lot of the restaurants there. However, we've never eaten at any of the gourmet ones because our kids are usually with us. Those dang kids. See, this is the trip like the last people. You don't have to worry about this situation right here. Boom, this is it. We will have a few hours to do dinner and wanted to see what your recommendations are. We're not picky eaters. We love Epcot, but wonder if there's something special we may not know about. We are more about good food than fancy. Oh, see, I like that. Thanks in advance. Looking forward to what y'all have to say, Melissa. All right, so besides, okay, default, California Grill. Okay, California Grill. Okay, what are we going to say? I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you. But, well, I mean, help them think outside the box. They're more into good food than fancy. Like, I guess they want the good food rather than the experience that goes all around it. So what would you suggest? Maybe something off the radar.
Do they want something specifically in Epcot?
No, I don't think so. They just said that they love Epcot, but wonder if there's somewhere special that they're not thinking of.
So I will say, you know, the thing about being in Epcot is that you can walk to a few of the resorts there and they have some great restaurants. First of all, you can walk over to the Yacht Club and Beach Club, and there is a brand new restaurant over at the Yacht Club, and it's called Ale and Compass. I think that one's worth a shot. It really is. We have had some good food there. They're really coming into their own. First of all, it's a beautiful restaurant, and I think they have some really good breakfast choices as well as lunch and dinner choices. So you may want to give that a try. I will also tell you that we have eaten, this is going to surprise you, Mike, so hold on to your seat for a little bit. We've eaten in the lounge there.
Yeah, okay. Okay, not shocking.
But of course, Steve and I, one day we were like, where are we going to go for dinner? I don't know. We didn't have a reservation. Let's just go to the lounge. And we did. And we had a really good meal there. We really did. It was fun. There was just, it's some good people watching at different times. So we enjoyed that. So you may want to give that a shot. It's just good food, and it leans towards maybe what you would find on like a New England-ish type restaurant, but not really. They have these things they call hearth oven pies. Don't let the name fool you. They're not like a pot pie. They're really like a flatbread, like a pizza. And they have different ones at different times that are really good. So that may be worth a shot. The other place over at the Beach Club, of course, is Cape May Cafe, if you like seafood. And we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, too, because it came up. But this is an all-you-can-eat buffet. It features clams and mussels and crab legs. But it has food for land lovers as well. They have a great rotisserie chicken and usually some ribs. The potatoes are fantastic. Lots and lots of things to choose from. So you may want to try that one, too. Then you can also walk over to the boardwalk where they have Flying Fish, which is an upscale restaurant, but has great seafood and a great steak if you're looking for something like that. Big River is a burger place, and they make beer right there on property, so you might want to try that. And of course, Trattoria Al Forno features Italian food, and Mike and I had the chance to eat there just recently when we were down there together for the Magic for Less team.
Oh, yeah.
And we had great food there. I cannot sing the praises enough on that. It was really, I had eaten there before, but this was way good. So
it was really good. But that guy, the big tall waiter that kind of looked like Lurch, kept trying to fill up my wine glass. Like, I'm like, I'm good. Coke Zero now, please. He just kept wanting to give me more wine. I'm like, yeah, I got to go check. Like, I was the only one running in a half marathon the next day. Everybody else was kicking back and having a good time. I got, that's it. I get one glass. You know, Coke Zero, please. No, it was a great meal. I will say, you know, Flying Fish, I just thought of this. And again, random thoughts that run through Mike Rallman's mind. Remember back in the, do they still have that sign that's like the neon fish flying out? They took that down years ago, right? I can't remember.
No,
if that's still
they
there.
Still
okay,
have that.
Okay, so they still have
fish.
That? Okay.
Yes,
but like,
they do.
Here's like the dichotomy of that. Like, that sign is like neon and kind of looks like something that the old Busch Stadium had when the Cardinals hit a home run. We had a cardinal bird that would fly around like a neon, you know, like a thing like that in the 80s.
Right.
But then when you look inside the windows, man, it is a subdued looking place because I've never eaten there. So it's kind of the opposite. Like, the sign looks fun and then it looks very formal on the inside.
I think that I think it's funny that so many people feel that way. I remember we went to Victoria and Albert's once, the fanciest restaurant at Walt Disney World, with a big group of people. And when we sat down, I looked at the waiter and the waitress, because there's a Victoria and Albert that serves each table. And I said to them, we're going to be your fun table tonight, so get ready. And they were like, we love it. Bring it on. So, I mean, there's no place that's so fancy you can't have a really good time.
No, I agree with that. It's just funny that the sign kind of looks like it's a carnival. And then inside it looks like, ooh, that's serious in there. Okay. I don't know. It's just what I've always thought when I've stayed at Boardwalk. But I will say they're staying at Coronado. So I'd say don't overlook Maya Grill.
For sure.
Except for getting your bill. Like, except for getting your bill. That is the worst. But, I mean, up until the time where you got to give your credit card. And it's not that it's expensive. It's that if you have more than two people at the table, it takes like an hour to get your check. I mean, it's consistently every time that happens. But, man, the food's good there. And the margarita flight's awesome. So, don't discount my girl. I love that place. All right. Next is Janine. Hi, BOG crew. Thanks so much for answering my first question last month about all you have done to prepare us for our first trip to Disney World in 21 days. We will be looking around for Mike when we arrive. That's right. I'm everywhere. So look for me. Here's my question. I booked Pixar Play Zone with my two daughters and my niece. After dropping them off, my husband and I are going to the Polynesian for a date night at Kona. Man, that sounds good. Since it will be late when we pick them back up, I was hoping to take a minivan back to our resorts. Will the minivans make a stop at Caribbean Beach to drop off my niece before taking the rest of us to Port Orleans French Quarter, or will they charge us two fares for that trip? Thanks again. Janine's out in California, but right now I guess she's down at Walt Disney World. She says, P.S. Will you give a shout out to my daughters, Anya and Kennedy? They are bummed that you said my name last time and not theirs. Thanks so much. So it's A-N-A-Y-A. So make sure I'm pronouncing that right. A-N-A-Y-A. How do you think you say that, Pam? Anya?
I would say Anya, yeah.
Anya.
I would.
Okay, and Kennedy, hey,
it's
thanks for listening.
It's a pretty name, however you pronounce it. So,
I love
hey.
Unique names. That's so cool. Yeah, so
Anya and Kennedy.
Yes.
Awesome.
So we're not going to say Janine anymore. We're just going to go with the girls. Anyway, okay. So I love the idea of a date night, but I think they're fine to drop somebody off at Caribbean Beach. The cast members are pretty flexible. I don't think they'd charge them twice.
I don't have enough experience to say this with any kind of authority, but my best advice when coming into any situation like this is to sweeten them up with a little honey and be sweet as can be, and that usually works. So.
Yes, that works with a lot of things at Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
You know, what did my grandma used to say? You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar? Is that what she said?
Absolutely. Like absolutely. That.
All right, Shannon's got the next question. Hello, love the show and touringplans.com. Our trip to Disney is next week, and we're so excited. We couldn't get a fast pass for Flight of Passage. Our itinerary on touringplans.com says we'll be waiting in line for 111 minutes. That's very specific. I love that.
Wow.
Well, not 112, not 110.
I could do 110, but yeah, exactly. I refuse to do 111.
That's it.
Will not do it.
She says, are you able to leave the line and return if someone stays in line, and are there restrooms in there? Thanks for all you do and such great tips, Shannon. Unfortunately, no and no, right? I mean, you got to stay in line, and there's a big sign that says no restrooms available in the queue. It's sad.
It does. Now, if there was an emergency, I would leave someone in line and try to get back in. But I'm going to say you are going to be fighting like the salmon as they swim upstream. And in addition, you're going to get a lot of dirty looks and maybe a little kick every now and then. No, I'm not saying you'll get kicked, but people get, not vicious, but they're understandably protective of their spot in line, I will say.
Yeah, it gets kind of tribal when you get to those new queues. You know, people want to... It's a competition, definitely. So, yeah, unfortunately, I wouldn't leave. I mean, yeah. You know, 111 minutes, if you just go to the restroom right before you get in the queue, I think you're going to be fine. You'll be good.
I think so.
I mean, I'm getting older, man, but I mean, I could probably make 2 hours. It depends how many Coke Zeros I had that morning. Anyway, too much information. Let's get on to Whitney's question. Hello, oh, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We have tickets to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on the day we arrive at Disney on December 2nd. We will start using our 4-day park hopper tickets the next day, so December 3rd through 6th. I understand we can get into the Magic Kingdom with our Merry Very tickets. I can't just do with our MVMVCP tickets starting at 4 p.m. on the day of the party. But will I be able to start making FastPass reservation times from 4 to 7 at the 60-day mark using our hard ticket that is linked to my account. Staying on property at the Contemporary, I keep getting conflicting information. Thanks, Whitney. Sorry, we've been doing a lot of shows to get ready for this vacation. I'm falling apart here. So what she basically wants to know, she's going to use her Magic Your Way tickets December 3 through 6. She's got a hard ticket for the 3rd or the 2nd. Is she able to schedule those fast passes? It's 60 days out based on the fact she has a hard ticket for the party the first day and using Magic Your Way tickets moving forward. What do you say?
So you will only be able to schedule your fast pass for the numbers of days for which you have a ticket or Magic Your Way ticket.
Yes.
So if you will not be able to schedule them like an extra day because you have a party ticket. I think that's the question. Am I right?
That is the question, and that is the right answer.
Thank you for both, because who knows at this point? It could be like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. So anyways, but yes, no, that has been the rule for a while. For a little bit, I think when tickets first became available after we had this whole FastPass situation, you were able to use those party tickets to schedule FastPass prior to a time, but I believe they have shut down that loophole at this point, and you are not allowed to do that.
But I think once you go in the park at 4 o'clock, you can schedule fast passes day of, but I just think you can't do it at 60 days. You know, the system isn't going to recognize that as having a valid park ticket that day.
Right.
Or what's going to happen is, I'm trying to think about the situation in my mind real quick, is that if you did, you would be a day short on the back end. Because you can only do it for the length of your ticket. So you could do it for the 4-hour window, whatever it is. But you don't want to do that because then you're going to short yourself on the last day for a full day. Maybe.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Let's get to the last question of the day. We're falling apart. It's 4th of July. Ready for some fireworks. Let's see here. Anthony's got it. Best resort for a young family. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're based in Leeds in the UK currently. It's me and my wife. But we're expecting our first little lizard in September. I love our lizards, but man, if people don't have the context, that sounds really strange. In September, we'll be taking a break from Disney trips, just for a little while. We wondered if there are better hotels when traveling with toddlers for when we head back to the world. We have a college and a Disney fund now. So not only do they have the college fund, you still have the Disney fund. Because I hate to say it, but more of our money's gone into the Disney fund than the college fund. Let's see. We're thinking we'll need 2 rooms, so we'll have somewhere to chill when our little one is asleep. We would like to go to Lux, but the villas can get crazy expensive when it's a 2-week trip. What would the Fab 3 recommend? Thanks for all you do, keeping the magic going all the way across the pond. We can't wait to introduce our new arrival to the BOGP family. Ant from the UK, far too many miles from Chef Art Smith's homecoming. I like the way he thinks. That's what's important. You know, let's be serious here and go with miles from homecoming, because Pam feels it right there. That's Chef Art Smith calling to congratulate this family, you know, for the great shout out here on the podcast. But so I get it. There, you know, you come over for 2 weeks from the UK, it gets a little bit expensive to go big villas. You know, this is one of those things that if you're looking for a separate place for the little pirate or princess to sleep, maybe look at an Art of Animation family suite. They're also at All-Star Music. But, I mean, there's also some moderates that have places like a Coronado Springs have some unique rooms. What do you think there for the little guy or gal?
It's so hard, because there are those story rooms that Disney has. That I think are really fun too. I mean, I think that makes a vacation, but I think that's the thing about a Disney resort. I think that there is something at each one of these resorts that's going to appeal to both adults and children. So, you know, I think the family suite is a good one, because it does give you a little extra room and the benefit of having 2 bathrooms. And I think that's a huge, huge plus in that space. There just really is. So many guests too, often choose to get another room for their kids. Now, that's probably not something that you really want to do, but that's always an option as well.
Yeah, I would look at Art of Animation or 2 rooms at Pop Century, because they're looking for that separation where the little baby can sleep and they can still get up and move around. Trying to think what else. You know, maybe split it, because you're looking at cost, but maybe do a week in a villa and then a week in a family suite. You know, just to spice it up. You're here for 2 weeks. I think it's kind of fun to do 2 stays.
And then you get to experience two resorts. You get to have two pools, two groups of restaurants from which to choose that are right there. So that's a great idea as well.
Yeah, if it were me, what I would do is I'd probably look at, say, a one bedroom at Old Key West and maybe a family suite at Music. You know, I think that's going to save you a little money, but give you two really cool experiences or Art of Animation. So good stuff, and enjoy that meal at homecoming when you get back. Put some in the Disney fund for that meal because it's worth it. All right. Well, you know what? We got to bug out of here because we got fireworks to watch, and I'm sure you do as well. But don't forget, our sponsor for today's show is virtualmickey.com. Great apps for your Apple devices. You got Days to Go WDW. You got Theme Park News Disney Edition. You've been listening to the show for years. You just want to trick out that Apple device, make it a Disney device right now. So check them all out over at virtualmickey.com. Now's the time to follow us on the social media. Great stuff happening. We're down at Walt Disney World, staying at Yacht Club here for the next few days. So check that out. So at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter and Instagram, and of course at Be Our Guest Pod. In live videos coming your way probably tonight. So check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. Don't forget the 12-hour live show coming up really soon, like here in just over a week, Saturday, July 14th from, what is it, 9 to 9 Eastern? It's 8 to 8 Central, I know that. And like we said in the text last night, we're getting older. So eventually in the next few years, it'll probably be 6 to 6 or something like that.
I totally agree. Or 5 to 5.
Exactly. We are getting older, so it's going to keep bumping up earlier in the day so we can get our beauty rest. But yeah, no, July 14th, 9 to 9 Eastern. Join us for 12 hours of great. But the most important thing is we're raising funds for these families that really need these vacations, these trips, these memories down at Give Kids the World. You guys have come through so very large over the past 10 years. So let's do that again, July 14th. Spread the word. Wherever you go in the Disney community, put it out there. We want you to join us on Facebook. We're going to have the Mixler channel going for audio. And, of course, taking your calls and having great guests from the Disney community for 12 hours straight again, July 14th. That's a Saturday this year from 9 to 9 Eastern. All right, time to get out of here. It's time to see some fireworks. So whatever you do, stay safe out there and have fun. Happy birthday, USA. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a happy 4th of July, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.